Brother Morgan Sims. God bless you, brother.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Certainly good to be with y'all again today, this afternoon. I want to say that I've been overwhelmed by the church's hospitality, the love, the effort that has gone into hosting this meeting. We're all Old Baptists here. We know what it takes to host a meeting. There's many things that have gone on in the background that we, the visitors, don't see. Many months, weeks preparation and prayer. But I just want to say a hearty thank you. In my opinion, the Lord has richly blessed.
Yes.
And as Brother Clayton has already mentioned, there's no guarantee that this afternoon service is going to be blessed. You know, any man can get behind a pulpit and speak, but no man can preach unless he's blessed by the Holy Spirit to do so. All right. And I certainly need your prayers. You know, it's interesting from my perspective. I don't consider myself a young man anymore. I will be 37 in April. But, you know, I've been exercising for a little over two years. And, of course, talking about perspectives, you know, it's all about perspectives. So it's all, our ages are all relative. Still young at heart. You know, I think I may just be a few years younger than Brother Charles. And I can't pick on Brother Marty because he's not here anymore. But when he started exercising in the ministry, that was the year I was born. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the year Brother Kenneth was born, 1986. But I do believe there's a verse that says something to that effect that time is just a vapor, or our life is just a vapor. And our perception of time goes by like that. And we never have enough time as we think that we do. And it's gone before we know it. But even though we think about these high-minded things sometimes, it's good to come into the house of the Lord to be with God's people.
Amen.
So enough of that. Y'all know who I am. If you don't, well, we can talk after service. We can get to know me a bit better. I can get to know y'all. In And don't worry, I don't intend to preach through the entire psalm today. As a matter of fact, I think it is the longest psalm. But I believe it's verse 11. It's a verse I've been thinking about lately. It's not my subject, but I just want to start out with that verse. The psalmist David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now, no matter what age we are, we should be studying God's word. We all know our articles of faith, or should know them, and whether Piney Grove has 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever the number may be, one of them will be is that the Bible, God's Word, is the only rule of faith and practice. So it should behoove us to study God's Word,
Amen.
To study it, to know it, not just in an intellectual pursuit, not just memorizing it because, but to memorize it and to know it. Now, we all know that we're born sovereignly of the Holy Spirit. But, especially if you have children, that you are still to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, subject that's been on Brother Kenneth's mind. He preached an excellent sermon last Sunday in San Antonio on the subject. But it could be that maybe when you're teaching your children God's Word, or whether you may be 30 years old or 60 years old studying God's Word, if you're not born again of the Spirit, you can have an intellectual knowledge of it, but you don't have the spiritual knowledge of it until God takes away that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. That's when He writes His laws on our hearts and puts His law in our inward mind. Just like how the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he knew the law of God better than all of his peers. He had an intellectual knowledge of it, but he didn't have the spiritual knowledge of it, did he? Until he was struck down on the road to Damascus, when he was born again sovereignly of the Holy Spirit and converted to the truth and called to be a gospel minister, all happened at the same time. I'm guessing it rarely ever happens that way. It did for the Apostle Paul. Then all his studying that he learned at the feet of Gamaliel, his intellectual knowledge was transformed. Just like his heart was transformed, the intellectual combined with the spiritual And that's when he became the apostle to the Gentiles. That's when he was able to preach mightily in Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yeah.
All this to say is the apostle Paul, when he was Saul, knew it in his head, and then he knew it in his heart after the Holy Spirit sovereignly changed his heart. But for us who have been born again, we need to study God's word. We need to have it in our heart, because there may be a time where we don't have the word of God. Think how blessed that we are, and this has been pointed out already. We have the very words of God at our fingertips. We have, I'm sure everybody in the congregation has a Bible, I think. But I'm fairly confident that everybody has a phone, a smartphone at that. It's like a fifth appendage to us, isn't it, sometimes? Sometimes you want to chuck it against the wall, be done with it, especially after the week I've had. But we have God's word at our fingertips. Now, I use eSword to study the Bible on my phone. Maybe you use a different Bible app. The point is, we have it at our fingertips. It's convenient for us, and yet biblical ignorance in the United States of America is at an all-time low. Isn't that kind of strange? We have the word of God readily available to us, yet biblical ignorance is at an all-time high. God forbid it be that in the old Baptist church. But we are blessed to have the word of God at our disposal, where saints throughout the ages have not had this blessing that we have. So we should study it, we should know it, we should live it and apply it to our lives. That way we can be doers of the word and not only hearers of the word. That's why James said, faith without works is dead. Yes, we need to have faith. God gives us our faith, the grace of faith. That was a wonderful sermon Brother Marty preached on faith, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was. When we're born again of the Holy Spirit, faith is one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit? It is something that is produced.
Yes.
So we have that capacity for faith when we're born again of the Spirit. And then once we hear the word of God and can believe it, we have the ability to latch on to the truth, believe it, live it out. But that ability to embrace the truth and actually embracing the truth are two different things, aren't they? Now, Brother Marty very well could have gone to this verse in Romans chapter 10 where he said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, I imagine most times that's quoted outside the old Baptist church. It's taken completely out of context. I don't intend to preach on Romans chapter 10, but just know that my ability to reach out and hold my water bottle, and yes, I do like kombucha, and this is filtered water. I actually got accused of bringing liquor into the pulpit one time because I used to have a black stainless steel bottle that I carried my water. An old deacon on a walker once said, "Brother, you taking your liquor into the pulpit with you?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Liquid courage." But no, rest assured, it's just filtered water. But my ability to reach out and grasp the bottle of water is not the same thing as me actually grabbing the bottle of water, is it? That was a simple little analogy, but yet profound, my pastor, Elder David Piles, pointed out to me. But until you hear the word of God and until you've been born again of the Holy Spirit, you cannot have faith, that expression of faith. I believe that's the term Brother Marty used. So I'm certainly glad for God's word, for the ability to read it, to understand it, to take it into our lives and apply it. Now, we need to hide God's word in our heart. Now, as we get older, and maybe even some of our younger people such as myself, if we classify 36 and 37 as younger, I'll let you determine those exact classifications, but sometimes our memory can fade. Sometimes we can't hold on to information as good as we once could. Praise God, that doesn't affect our eternal salvation based on what we remember. And I believe it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, "You are saved if you keep these things in remembrance." Well, what happens if you don't keep these things in remembrance? Is God going to cast you into hell? Is he going to go back on the promises that he's made? Is he going to withdraw his love from us just because We may suffer a brain-altering injury because we develop Alzheimer's. No, not at all, brethren. That's why we have to rightly divide the word of truth, not rightly divide the word from truth for error. Paul is talking about blessings in gospel obedience, and he's talking about you are saved if you remember these things which have been taught.
Yeah.
So yes, we need to know God's word, need to live it, need to understand it, and I certainly need to do a better job of memorizing God's scripture. But one verse has really stood out to me for the last year and a half. I actually think somebody brought up this verse during this meeting. And that's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you might perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. That doesn't quite have a right ring to it, does it, brethren? Let's try this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you could perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. No, it just doesn't work, does it? What does Elder Ricky Harcrow say? Brethren, I've got a better story for you than that. I can pick on Brother Ricky because I know Brother Ricky and saw him last weekend. You should hear my Lonnie Jr. impression. We'll save that for another time, Brother Brad. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is amazing to me how much doctrinal truth can be crammed down into just one verse. Now, I'm just referencing this verse in particular, but we could certainly examine any verse and have numerous doctrinal truths. What about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18? I thought Brother Silas was going to go there. He got about yay close from going to it, and I was like, yes, come on, Brother Silas. But it wasn't his intent to take the sermon in that direction. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. That's a lot of doctrinal truth in that, isn't it? And we need to remember these verses, these short little doctrinally rich verses, because when we get away from the church, when we get away from this Bethel spot, when we get away from our brethren, when we go into the world, it's an evil place. The devil will try to do everything in his power to take us, our mind, off of God, off of Jesus Christ, and influence us in a negative way. You know, not only do we have to battle against our own flesh, we have to battle against Satan and his minions and the world at large. But praise be to God that Jesus Christ hath, was it, offered us the victory? No. Praise be to God, or praise be to Christ Jesus, who giveth us the victory. Again, going back to us knowing the word, there's quite a bit of difference between giveth and offereth, right? Just like there's a big difference between may perform, could perform, will perform, right? We need to know the differences, because if we get away from good sound doctrine, when we get away from Jesus Christ, who is our rock, who is our salvation, we become like the man who builds his house on sand. And what happened to that house that was built on sand? The winds came, the rain came, storm came, and what happened? The house fell, and great was its ruin. What about the house that was built on the solid rock? And that rock is Jesus Christ. There's much preaching in that, isn't it? That house that was built on Jesus Christ, built on his word, built on his doctrine, just like the church is. The storm still came, didn't it? The rains came. The winds came, but because that house was built on a rock, who is Christ, that house withstood that storm. You know, some people think just because you join a church, any church, but let's just say an Old Baptist church in particular, they think that their problems are coming to an end. They think whatever's been afflicting them is just going to go away. And that's not the proper mindset to have. Jesus Christ said, in this life, ye shall have tribulation. Now, we've been called hard shell Baptist in the past. I'm sure we're still called that. That people, our detractors have used that as a derogatory term, coming from hard shells. But I love the shells in the Bible.
Amen.
Even this shall. It's not pleasant to dwell on our troubles and tribulation, is it? In this life, ye shall have tribulations. That's just as strong of a shall as Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But praise God, the verse didn't end there, did it? In this life, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that is our only hope in this world. That Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and because he has overcome the world, he has enabled us to overcome this world. Does that mean we're going to win every battle? No. It doesn't. Does that mean we're not going to have hardships, heartbreak, troubles? Not going to have that sin that so easily besets us in our life? No, we're still going to have it. But we have the means, the opportunity to fight against it. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are they? But they are mighty to the overthrowing of strongholds. That's why Paul could also say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, Brother Clayton and Sister Nancy were so gracious to host me last night and tonight, but I got a tour of the armory as well. And I don't have very many opportunities to shoot guns anymore, but I love guns. I love knives. Love to shoot. I was in a sharpshooters club in the 4-H growing up. Love to skeet shoot, long rifle. But a gun is not going to help you against a spirit, is it? Not going to help you against a fallen angel. Not going to help you against spiritual wickedness in high places. Gun's not going to help you. Knife is not going to help you. Our own physical strength is not going to help us. What is going to help us? God's word.
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit.
Right.
Now we have defensive weapons, the armor. We have this offensive weapons, but it's all in the word of God. But if we don't know the word of God, that can't help us, can we? And even if we don't know God's word, we can still call upon the name of the Lord, and he's going to help us. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. That's been quoted. If we are faithful, if we are faithless, yet he abides faithfully. Now, we've heard some wonderful prayers this weekend, haven't we, brethren? And I love to hear these long, eloquent, heartfelt prayers that many of these preachers have prayed, that many of these deacons have prayed, many of you in the congregation have prayed. I love to hear them. But sometimes, when we're in a bind, it's these short prayers we need. Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. Even if we get to the point where we don't know God's word, either from our lack of dedication or for factors outside of our control, I've mentioned some mental problems already, he still abides with us. He's still faithful to help us in our time of need. He will still take us out of that horrible pit in the mire of clay and set us on a rock. Oh, I think we've talked about a rock already. And that rock is Christ. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. If we call, he will answer.
Yes.
Praise God for that. Being confident of this very thing. You know, we should have no confidence in our own flesh, like the Apostle Paul said. We have confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Being confident in this very thing. Who had began this good work in us? Us? The preacher? Our godly grandmother? We all have a godly memo, I'm sure. God and God alone began this work. Now, I could preach another 50 minutes on this verse. I'm not going to do it. But rest assured, he started the work before time began. being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He began that good work. He's going to continue that good work. It doesn't matter if we abide faithfully or not. It doesn't matter how much we are disobedient. It doesn't matter if we become a castaway and we make a shipwreck of our life. He's going to perform that good work in us into the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Now, even we're in heaven, in heaven and immortal glory, where our soul and spirit departs immediately when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Salvation is still not 100% complete, is it? We're still waiting on something. We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. When it mentions the day of Jesus Christ, primary context, in my opinion, is his second coming, when he's going to resurrect these vile, mortal bodies and change into blink of an eye, twinkling of an eye, and he's going to fashion it into a glorified, resurrected, immortal body like he has right now sitting at the right hand of God. But you know, if we die before the second coming happens, we're still going to be with Jesus Christ. He's going to perform that good work even before he comes back. Many of you have lost loved ones recently. Many of you knew or knew of my pastor's sister, Sister Lynn Piles Bruce, been struggling with cancer for 16 years, and she passed away recently. When our loved ones pass away, we depend on God's word for comfort. Like Brother Lonnie said yesterday, we do sorrow, and it's not wrong to sorrow, because that shows how dear those people were to us. But we do not sorrow as those that have no hope. And why would we not want to share that hope with other people in evangelizing and sharing the gospel with them? You know, we're an Old Baptist church. We have a sense of comfort, a sense of peace, a sense of strength, an assurance, believing in the doctrines of grace that I don't think anybody else in this world has. That's how we can have hope. That's how we can have peace when our loved ones die. And we know if they're a child of God, they go immediately to heaven, soul and spirit. Soul doesn't sleep, doesn't go to a halfway house, doesn't go to purgatory, limbo. Some of those ideas have been preached in the Old Baptist Church, so I've heard. I think I've gotten close to hear something about soul sleep recently, but we won't go into that. Rest assured, I can prove it to you that what happens to the soul and spirit when you die from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Brethren, that's why we can have hope, because we know God has promised us eternal life. Another good memory verse. In hope of eternal life, which God, that what cannot lie, promised before the world began. And if he has promised something to us, is there any shadow of doubt that he's not going to do whatever it takes to fulfill that promise? No. And we have hope and comfort in that. God bless you, brother, and I love you. Come on, brother.